Hey, I'm Carrie, and I'm actually one of the evangelists and ministers over at the church in Wentzville, where this church plant came from. And every once in a while, it's cool because we get the opportunity to come over here and be with you guys on a Sunday and talk and just get to interact and mingle and see the church changing and growing. And it's always an extremely exciting thing for us to be able to do that, especially on days like today where we get to come outside and it's like gorgeous out here. But right now, you know, our entire country isn't like this, right? Everybody has seen what's going on down on the Gulf and in Florida and other parts of the world are dealing with some pretty tragic and scary things. So actually, before we get started, we're going to, a buddy of mine who's a college minister down in Florida, he called me. He's like, Carrie, he's like, at church, will you guys make sure you stop and just say a prayer for all the people down here in Florida? He stayed behind at his church and didn't evacuate so that they could be there as a hub to help people. And so we're going to stop for just a moment. We're going to pray for them, and then we'll get to talking, okay? Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for today, for allowing us to have such a gorgeous day, God, to have services out here and have the opportunity to be with one another, to fellowship, to have fun, to eat, and all those things, God. But right now, as we're enjoying the gorgeous weather, we have friends and family, God, and men and women and children in Florida who are in harm's way. And we just want to take a minute to pray for them and for their lives, God. And that you will watch over people down there, that you'll help them to be able to recover quickly, God, and that they will know that there are a bunch of people who love and stand behind them, God. And if there's any way that we can help, God, enable us to be able to do so. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, I'm excited to be able to be out here, but while we're out here and y'all are sitting in the sun, everybody's like this. And it's going to be a little warm, so I'll keep it kind of short and simple today. But if you've been coming over the last several weeks, you know that this is a brand new church plant. And to kind of kick it off, what we wanted to do is we want to talk about a new church and really why you need one. Because today, a lot of people believe that they just don't really need a church. You know, a lot of people look at church and they're like, yeah, it's something good to do. It's something nice to do, but I don't really need to do it. And that a relationship with God is supposed to be vertical, where it's me and God and nobody else is involved. Nobody else needs to know my stuff. Nobody else needs to know my business. But when you start looking at what the Bible has to say about what the church should be and what it ought to be and how good it can be, you start realizing, man, I need a church family. I need a group of men and women who are about the same things that I'm about, that can help me grow my relationship with God, that can help me get closer to God. And then as you start getting involved in that church and you start getting involved in small groups and you start opening up your lives to one another, it's incredible to see how much blessing comes from that. You know, the reason I think church has gotten the way it has, to where people don't think they need it, is because churches haven't been what they need to be. And one of the things that you need to know as you're visiting, if you're visiting with the Crossings here in Collinsville today, one of the things that you ought to know about us is we're committed to being a church that makes a difference in the world, but also that makes a difference in each other's lives. We don't want to be the kind of church to where you come in here on a Sunday and you leave and then there's never any contact after that until the next Sunday. We want to be a church that's involved in one another's lives, that we're there for each other when the good times are there. We're there when the bad times are there. We're there all the time because we believe that's what a family is supposed to be about. And God's church is supposed to be like a family. And so as you sit here today, you can look around and you can see other people sitting here and know, you know what, these are people who love God, but they're also people who are gonna love me desperately. And I've seen that over the years as we planted that church out in Wentzville. And it started with a handful of people and now it's grown and we're running, you know, 500 or 550 on Sundays. And I see as I get up there and I sing on the worship team and as I get to preach now and then, I look at the lives of the people there and I see how much their lives have changed. But I also see a deep love and gratitude and appreciation for one another and for the church that God has blessed them with. And we've got to go through so many things together. So I hope that that's what you find here at the Crossings in Collinsville. That this is a place where you can know that you're going to be loved and cared for, and you're going to have people who are going to be involved in your life. But hopefully also it does something more than that. You know, I know you've talked about a lot of things the church is good for, and today what we're going to be talking about is the fact that the church was designed to help you find and fulfill your mission or your purpose in life. You know, if you look at a lot of people in our country today, you know, you would think that with all of the medical advancements that we have and all the things that we've come up with technology-wise, that people would be less depressed than ever before, right? You would think with everything that we have that people would be able to find a way not to be sad, not to feel burdened, not to feel anxiety, not to feel all these different things. But the fact of the matter is that we live in a time where people feel a lot less hope maybe than they ever have. You know, you look at our country over the past few years, there's a lot of strife and there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of bitterness and anger. And you look at that and you're like, man, why does it have to be this way? And what I believe is it doesn't have to be that way. And in fact, God designed it to be different, and he designed the church to be a place that helps you find a purpose for your life that changes everything for you. And if you haven't found that in your life, then you haven't experienced that, you just don't know how great and powerful and incredible it can really be. But God has a purpose for your life. Rick Warren, you know, he's a very famous minister, and Rick Warren says this. He says, without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. And without meaning, life has no significance or hope. You know, I think most people, when they look at life and they think about what they want their lives to be like, they want to make a difference. They want it to matter. They want it to be worth something. And I think the reason that so many people face anxiety and depression and fear, and we go through life and we kind of just trudge through it daily, I think the reason for that is that people haven't found a way to make their life significant or to bring it any hope. And they look and they never feel like they're going to have a lasting impact. But what God wants you to know is that you can have an incredible life that makes a difference in so many people's lives. And not only for right here, you know, there are people who they'll get involved in a cause, right? And you might have seen this before. I see this a lot with college students, because college students tend to be people who like to get involved in some kind of cause or some kind of activism, right? And so they're kind of sad and they're kind of dealing with things, or they don't really know what they want to do with their lives. And then they find this cause, whatever this cause is for them, and they jump on board. And for a while, they're super excited about it, right? But then that cause kind of fades away or goes away, or we raised enough money to be able to help that person, or we did this or that. But the problem is that when that kind of fades away, guess what? So does the significance they felt. So does the hope that they felt. So does that moment where they felt good. It kind of fades away with it. And what God wants you to know is that he wants you to be involved in a mission and have a purpose that is eternal. It doesn't only last now. It doesn't just last for a day or a week or a month, but you have the opportunity to be a part of something that is going to change yours and your family and the people you come in contact with. It is going to change their forever. And there is nothing greater than being involved in something that is going to change not only someone's life here on earth, but change their eternity. And what God wants you to know is he's brought you to a place to help you get involved in that, to get involved in something that's truly going to last and is truly going to matter. And the church helps me to find my life-changing mission and purpose. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul says this: the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. Paul says, listen, you know what matters more than anything in my life is that I fulfill my mission. And this is what my mission is. It's to let people know that God loves them and wants to forgive them and wants to have a relationship with them. That's the good news that he has. And for so many people today, they look and they don't think God wants to have anything to do with them. You know, out at the Crossings out in Wentzville, as we preach on a Sunday morning and you look at the crowd of people, I've been fortunate enough to get to know those people's stories. And I get to know the things they've been involved in and the things they've done, and they've shared their lives with me. And they were people before who looked and they didn't understand the grace of God because they had never felt it. And they knew who they had been, and they knew what they had done and what they had been involved in. And they thought, there's no way on earth God could ever use me. Paul was a guy like that. When Paul realized how badly he had messed up, it would have been very easy for him to say, you know what, I'm worth nothing, and there's nothing worthy about my life. I just want to give up. But what God does is he sweeps into people like you and I and people like Paul, and he says, listen, I don't care what's happened before. What I care about is the fact that I love you, I want a relationship with you, and I want to give you a mission and a purpose to go and make sure that other people who feel the same way that we felt understand that I want them as well. And that's what Paul says here. And then in Romans 10, verses 13 and 14 says this: anyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they believe if they've never heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? See, what the church wants to do is it wants to teach you and let you understand that there are people out there who are lost and they're hurting and they're looking for something greater to be a part of in their lives. And some of those people will go through the rest of their lives never finding that, simply because of the fact that so many people who claim to have a relationship with God, who claim Christianity, will never open their mouths and tell people what they found. And what the church, what the Crossings wants to do is it wants to be a church that helps you see that you can help people find what you found. that you can go out and you can say, listen, I'm going to be that person who makes sure that I tell other people about this. And some of you might be sitting there and you might be thinking, that's not my personality. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to. I've seen the most shy, the most quiet, the most downcast, the most shy people you will ever meet go out and make a huge impact on people's lives simply because of the fact that they stepped out of their comfort zone to be a part of something bigger than themselves and they opened their mouths. See, God wants you to be a part of his mission. 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul says this, all this is done by God who through Christ, Christ changed us from enemies into his friends, and then he gave us the task of making others his friends also. See, that's what the church is supposed to be about. And for so many people today, church has been about what they can get out of it, about it easing their conscience that they went to church and they leave, and it's about what they're able to soak up out of it. And what we've missed is the fact that the church was supposed to be that place that goes out and lets people know that they can be friends with God as well, no matter where they come from, no matter what they've done. That's what this church is going to be about. And the reason that you need a church like that is because it's what God designed it to be, and he wants you to be a part of it as well. You know, it's sad that in so many churches, the only people who really are working on the mission of God might be a preacher. And they go out and they study the Bible with people and they reach out with people and people come and they preach to them and they teach them. But the congregation doesn't engage in that. And God's looking down and he's like, no, this is so backwards. This is what everyone is supposed to be doing. This is what everyone gets to be a part of, is saving the world. And there's no greater mission and no greater purpose that you're ever going to find in your life than going out and changing someone's eternity. So you might be thinking, okay, well, if that's what the church is supposed to be about and that's what we're supposed to be doing, how does the church help me fulfill that mission? First of all, by modeling the mission for me. The church should be a place that models this. And since the very beginning of the church, when you look, go all the way back to when the church first started, when Jesus left in Acts chapter 2, the church is just getting kicked off. From the very beginning, you see this same focus. It says this in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus starts out right before Acts, and he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you want to know what the church is supposed to be about, and you want to find the model of it, what you need to go back to is the founder of the church, right? You want to find out what something's intent and purpose was, go back to the founder. And here Jesus is telling these men who are going to become the church, he's saying, this is what you're supposed to be about. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go into all the world and you're supposed to tell people about a relationship with me. And you're supposed to baptize them and teach them how to follow me. That's what the church is supposed to be about. So what you see in the next verse there in Acts chapter 1 is this. Jesus is getting ready to leave, and this is what he tells him. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And again, here's Jesus telling him, listen, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go out there, and you're supposed to spread out, and you're supposed to help people find me all over the world. See, at the Crossings Wentzville, when we planted the church out in Wentzville, one of the things we sat around and talked about is the fact we said we want to be not only a church who makes an impact in Wentzville, but we want to spread out from there. And we talked about, man, wouldn't it be cool to plant a few churches in the St. Louis area? Man, would it be awesome to plant a church in U City and get something going right down by the city and start something cool there where lives are being changed? So in 2014, that's what we did. We planted a church there, and they're growing and they're learning. And then we looked and we said, okay, what about the east side? What about Illinois? Let's go back. Let's go over there. Let's plant a church in Collinsville. So a month and a half ago, that's what happened. And now we're looking down the road and we're thinking, man, what about Columbia? What about Carbondale? What about Cape Girardeau? And this vision has grown. It says, we want to go out and we want to be the church that Jesus described. And we don't want to be a church where you just come sit. We want to be a church where you're involved. And we don't want to be a church where you go just to be appeased. We want lives to be changed. And we want people who are in need of a relationship with God to find it and to find a people who will gather around them and help them grow in their relationship with God. That's the kind of church we want to be. And that's the kind of church you're at. And you know, I can't wait till someday down the road, you guys will be planting churches at different places. And we'll be planting churches together. It's going to be an exciting thing to be a part of. And that's what the church should model for you. See, and then Jesus leaves right after he says that in Acts 1. And then Acts 2, it says this. Peter said much to warn them. He urged, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted what Peter said were baptized. So here's Peter, and what's he doing? Exactly what Jesus told him to do. He's going and he's starting to preach about him. And people are listening. And then it says, that day about 3,000 people were added to the group. That's pretty incredible, right? He goes out and preaches the sermon, and 3,000 people are like, that's what I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of that mission. I want to have that kind of purpose in my life. I want to have a relationship with that kind of God and these kind of people. Because look what it says right after that. The believers had a single purpose, and they went to the temple every day, and they were joyful and humble as they ate at each other's homes and shared their food. At the same time, they praised God and had the goodwill of all the people. And then the last sentence, every day the Lord saved people and they were added to the group. That sounds like the kind of a church that I would want to be a part of. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be a part of a church that isn't doing these things. If the Crossings in Winsville ever becomes a kind of church that turns inwardly focused and is worried about what is best for them, and they're not thinking about the people that are around them and the community around them, and they don't want to reach out to those people, and they don't want to help people's lives be changed, and they're not the kind of church where they're getting together and they're meeting and they're loving and they're fellowship. I don't want to be a part of a church unless it's doing that. And that's what this church that you guys are visiting today, that's what they should be modeling for you, and I think they are. And I know that they will continue to do that, but the church was designed to be a place where people's lives were changed. The church was designed to give you a purpose and a mission and teach you what you need to go out and do. And so the first way that the church helps me fulfill my mission is by modeling it for me and showing it to me. You know, don't come here and just see what's going on and be like, oh, that's nice, I'll come back next week. Oh, that's nice, I'm going to come back next week. Jump in and allow the church not only to model it for you, but to start teaching you. See, the next thing that the church can do for you is they start to train you for your mission. We got people visiting us in the windows. Come on out. We got a mission to tell you about. They also, not only do they need to model it, but they need to train me for the mission. See, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, it says go there, but really it's God. Sorry, there's a typo on your notes. But it says, listen, all God's word, the Bible, it comes from God. It was inspired by him, and it has a purpose. The Bible has a purpose, and that purpose is to teach you and to train you and to mold you so that you're able to go out and fulfill the mission of God. That's what it's about. That's what it's for. And what the church should be doing is it should be teaching you and training you to do that. And some of that is going to take place right here on a Sunday, right? You know, you sit down and you hear the word of God, and hopefully you're soaking up things that God's word is speaking to your heart, and it's training you and getting you ready to go out and do the mission. But at the Crossings, one of the things we understand is that you're really not going to get the kind of training you need in this kind of setting, right? Some of you guys work full-time jobs. And you think about, some of you went to college for those jobs. And if you're anything like anybody else I've ever talked to, you don't get very much training for the job you're going to do sitting in a classroom, right? You know, you graduate with a degree and then you go to work, and then you find out when you get your first job, you really don't know very much. You know, you get there and you're like, I know all these facts, but I don't know how to actually do the job. And so you receive on-the-job training. You receive everyday life training, and you start to learn how to do the job and how it works. As you go through life and as you experience things at that job, that's how you learn. And as a church, what we want to do is we don't want you just to hear the word here, but we have small groups at the Crossings for a reason. We have cell groups at the Crossings because we understand that you're not going to get the training you need sitting here listening to someone talk at you. You need someone to walk with you, alongside you, to deal with life with you, to look into God's word and say, well, this is what the Bible says about the situation you're facing now. How would that apply to you? How can we do this together? How can I help you? And we surround each other and we use God's word to really train us for the mission and for our lives. See, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 through 16, Paul's writing to this younger guy, Timothy, and he says this, training the body helps a little, but godly living helps in every way. You know, he's saying, look, it's okay to go exercise. It's okay to train your body. And there are some benefits to that. You should take care of your body. But he says, but godly living helps in every aspect of your life. Godly living has the promise of life now and in the world to come. This is a statement that can be trusted and deserves acceptance. Certainly, we work hard and struggle to live a godly life because we place our confidence in the living God. He is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe, insist on these things, and teach them. And then he tells Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you for being young. Instead, make your speech, your behavior, your love, your faith, your purity an example for others. Until I get there, concentrate on reading scripture and worship. Give encouraging messages and teach people. Don't neglect the gift which you received through prophecy when the spiritual leaders place their hands on you. Practice these things. Devote your life to them so that everyone can see your progress. Focus on your life and your teaching and continue to do what I've told you. And if you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. See, Paul is teaching Timothy how to lead a church. That's what he's doing. He's saying, listen, I'm training you and I'm teaching you how to live a godly life and I'm teaching you how to give a message that's going to help change people's lives. And I want you to live in such a way that you're training the people around you. I want them to be able to look at your life and the way that you live and the way you handle tough situations, the way that you deal with circumstances. I want them to look at your life and I want them to train them to be more godly. I want you to teach them, and the things that you teach, I want it to train them to fulfill God's mission, because if you do that, it's going to save you, but it's also going to save the people who listen to you. That's what this church is about. It's about helping you find a mission, but also training you and saying, let's look at God's word and see how it affects our lives and how it impacts us and how we can make sure that you have the training you need to go help other people find the same thing that you found. And then finally, the way that the church helps you with finding and fulfilling your mission is it's meant to turn you loose on the world. By turning me loose on the world, Philippians 4:9, Paul says, you know the teachings I gave you, and you know you have heard me say and what you've seen me do. Follow my example, and God who gives peace will be with you. See, he's saying, listen, it's not enough for you to see what I do or for me to teach you about it. You need to do something with it. You need to follow my example. And then at Mark 16, look what Jesus says to him in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Then Jesus said to them, so wherever you go in the world, tell everyone the good news, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. See, what Jesus did with his apostles is the same thing he expected the apostles to do with the people who they reached. He said, listen, I've taught you these things and I've trained you these things. Now I want you to go out into the world and I want you to show them the same thing. You know, I want you to go out and make a difference. And that's why the first century church had such a huge impact on the world. You realize that the Roman government back then, you know, anybody who studied history, you know how incredibly powerful the Roman government was, right? But they looked at the government and people from the government, they looked at Christianity and they said, man, Christianity is changing everything. It is turning the world upside down. They looked at Christians and said that. That's because they were a group of men and women who were serious about the mission and purpose in their lives. And so you and I have got to look and say, okay, if that's what the first century church was like, that's a model for me about what I need to be. And I need to get involved in a church that's going to model that for me, who's going to train me to do that, and then they're going to set me loose. You know, one of the most exciting things that we've done as a church is plant other churches. Because it's us basically kind of seeing this process take place. You know, I remember when the church plant went out for U-City, and then when our church plant went out, you know, a couple months ago to come here. It's one of the coolest things because most of those people didn't grow up going to church. Most of those people didn't grow up having those pristine lives that everybody likes to pretend they have. Most of them grew up just normal, everyday people with hurts, habits, hangups, addictions. They've been through life. But God has stepped in and he's shown them something different. And he used a church to say, hey, not only can you be forgiven for all the junk, but God wants to give you something great to live for. And they had a church that modeled that for them. And then it trained them. And then it said, all right, now it's your turn to go out and do that. And so whole groups of people moved from Wentzville to U-City to Collinsville. And now they're here and they're trying to do that same thing here. That's the kind of church this is. It's a new church. And the reason you need it is because it has the greatest purpose for your life ever. Because if you will listen to God and you will get involved with a church that's making a difference in the world around you, you are not going to believe how much better life can be than you ever dreamed it would be. Because you're going to find something so much bigger and so much greater than yourselves. That's what the church should be. That's what kind of church the Collinsville church plant, the Crossings Collinsville, is going to be. And hopefully, all of you are going to make a decision that says, look, I want to jump on board. I want to be a part of something that's not only going to change people's lives right now, but it's going to change their eternity. It's going to change their forever. And you may be looking at you like, I'm not sure how to do that. I don't even know about a relationship with God with myself. Well, in your bulletins, you guys have a communication card in there. And that Crossings communication card, it's designed not so that we can come stalk you at your house later or anything like that. It's designed so that you can get involved. It looks like this. It's designed so that you can get involved in the church, that you can be a part of what's going on. And so what all of us have got to look at this and say, man, what can I do to become more a part of what's going on in this kingdom of God? What can I do to make sure I'm fulfilling my purpose and vision? Some of you look and you say, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Bible at all. Then check I'd like a personal Bible study and let someone sit down and show you specifically what the mission looks like and what it means to have a relationship with God and what it means to have a relationship with His church. Some of you look and you're like, man, I'm just too messed up. I've been through so much stuff. Then check I would like, you know, we have different support services, grief, premarital, marriage. Maybe you look and you say, I have an addiction. Check, I would like some help with that, and allow a godly man or woman to step beside you and say, we're going to work through this together because I want you to be a part of the mission of God. I don't know where you're at with that, but I know that because of what God has done in the past, because I know what he died for, I know that you can be a part of that. See, Jesus came, and the reason that we're able to have a relationship with Him, the reason we're able to have a relationship with each other, the reason that we can have a purpose and a mission is He looked and He said, yeah, you know what? You people are pretty screwed up. But even though you're screwed up, I still love you. And I still long to have a relationship with you. So He came here and He died so that we could have a relationship with Him. That's what He came here to do, and then give us a purpose. At the Crossings, normally we take the Lord's Supper a lot of times in our small groups every other week. And then we take it here. Right now what we're going to do is we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And as we take the Lord's Supper, take a moment to think about if you've really been fulfilling the purpose and mission that God has for your life. Think about the fact, am I really grateful for the fact that someone was willing to die for me so that I could be forgiven, but also so that I could have a life that would make an impact? And as we take the Lord's Supper, the worship team will sing, the bread and the cup will be passed. It represents Christ's body that was broken for us and His blood that was spilled so that we could have a purpose and a mission and meaning in life. And then after that song is over, the worship team is going to sing another song. That second song is designed for you to be able to fill out your communication card. And then the last song, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing together. And you can put your communication card in there. Allow God a chance to change and bless your life. Then after that, Wes will come up and tell us what we're going to do, because we're going to eat and have some fun out here together, all right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank You for being a God who loved us enough, God, when we didn't deserve it, to send Your Son so that we could have a relationship with You, God. But not only did You just want to forgive us of the things in our lives, God, so that we could be close to You, You wanted to do more than that. You wanted to give us a life that was worth living. And so, God, You gave us a purpose and a mission for our lives. And I pray that You'll help us to remember what that purpose and mission is, God, that we'll realize that it came at the expense of Jesus' life, and that we can be forever grateful for that, God, and that it changes our lives from here on out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.